My employer requires your services, gentlemen. One job, one day's work. I have been asked by my employer...
Very dangerous.
...to bring a proposal.
He does not expect all of you to live.
He does not expect all of you to live.
Do it. Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Fawcast, a weekly podcast where we talk about pretty much whatever comes to mind. And we should probably take this opportunity to tell you that sometimes we talk about sensitive things. So, if you're easily offended, maybe you should stop listening right now.
So what you want me to do?
Let's get started. The Cyclone Fanatic Fawcast is made possible by Mark Charter Real Estate. Buying or selling? No one offers more than Mark Charter. Free moving truck, free storage, flexible commission plans, and more. Read more than 100 satisfied client reviews at markcharter.com. Now, on with the show.
Just talking? Well, what's the show about? It's about nothing.
Please welcome your host, Mark Charter.
I'm sorry I was born with this perfect bone structure, that my hair looks better done up with gel and mousse than hidden under a stupid hat with a light on it.
Adam Gray.
I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books.
And Chris Williams.
As you probably could have guessed by this moment, I have decided in 2020 to run for president.
What up? How's it going, everybody? Welcome to this week's podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. His name is Mark Charter from Mark Charter Real Estate. At Iowa Real Estate on Twitter, he brings us the podcast each and every month. Each and every week.
Week?
That would be.
It's more like it.
What's up, dudes?
I got another lead today. Someone just called me this morning and said, my son's a big Cyclone fan, blah, blah, blah. Said to give you a call. We're looking to switch agents.
Nice. Boom.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
Thank you for the endorsement.
It's all good.
Yeah, that's good stuff. How's the real estate market? Is it still hot?
The real estate market's picking up, actually. I'm listing...
Picking up? Isn't it been just, like, smoldering for a couple of years now?
Years. It's been fine. Recently, though, you go through a little bit of the end of August lull, and then...
People are back to school.
But I've had several people reaching out looking to buy and get houses on the market for winter. So, things are good.
Now, you recently just sold a place very dear to you, didn't you?
I sold my house.
Nice.
Tomorrow. Closes tomorrow.
So have you moved into your new house?
No.
So you're moving into like an apartment.
We're in a duplex probably spring because the owners of the house we're buying are building. So we're going to let them build. So
you should just kick them out.
We'll be two doors down from Lane Danielson, the famous Lane Danielson, right around the corner from Jack Whitfer. Some names people would know.
Look at you. All the great wide receivers of... Central Iowa history.
TJ is in the neighborhood. So I met TJ for the first time at the basketball kickoff last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was nice.
Did you like him?
Was there a connection?
Instant chemistry.
Yeah. He can recruit. You know,
I liked him. I did not meet Prohm. Didn't feel the need to.
You don't like him?
What do you got against Prohm?
It's a bad choice in real estate agents. No, I can't say I don't like him because I have not spoken to him. That would be unfair. But he was busy meeting the fans.
I thought he did a really nice job. I just got done writing about this in his Media Day press conference compared to his initial one. I was not blown away with his initial one. I thought it was really I felt kind of bad for the guy just because it's a difficult situation that he took over as far as replacing Hoiberg and just people's expectations and whatnot. But I thought he looked so much more comfortable on Tuesday. Like, I really tipped my hat to him because he was like a different dude up there.
I didn't see it as much of a difference as you did. But what I said to you, too, afterwards is, it's hard to kill a guy. You look at Fred Hoiberg, his first year or two, he was not great with the media. It took him a little bit of time to get comfortable. And then once he was great. I think Prohm's going to be the same way. He's got to get a comfort level with you guys asking him questions. And
he's used to like two guys in Murray, Kentucky.
Yeah. I thought he still seemed a little nervous, but I didn't think anything of it. I think that's pretty normal, to be honest.
I think he came off fine. My question is, and Chris, you know him, probably pretty well at this point. Is he a bit of a square, to use an old term?
What?
Like, would you enjoy having beers with him, or would he be like,
I don't know.
One beer and done kind of guy, got to head home.
I don't know.
Because that's the thought that I get.
Well, then you would technically be a square because you're a one beer kind of guy.
You'd be like, hey, pass the milk. Yeah.
I had at least two beers at the kickoff.
Did you?
And by the way,
did you finish them both?
By the way, I'm taking you to Vegas, so I can't be that much of a square.
Well, I got to see how you drink in Vegas before I call you a square.
A square would not even go to Vegas.
That's a good point.
That's me.
Yeah.
So
that's me.
Would you have gone if you were available to go on this trip?
Yeah, I would have. Yeah.
All right.
But I just, you know, I got stuff.
Just got stuff.
He wouldn't have gone.
You know? I've never been to Vegas. In fact, I really want to go sometime. Like, that's a trip I've always wanted to make. As far as Prome goes, like, I don't know him well enough. I mean, I don't know.
You don't get a vibe, though?
Frankly, there's not that many people I'd like to sit and have beers with these days.
These days?
Like, I'd rather just, a lot of times, just be in my basement.
The list is getting shorter.
You and Bloom are the only two that, he's the only one you drink beers with anymore.
I'm going to have beers with you on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Big wedding.
I'm looking forward to it.
I know. I'm excited.
Thanks for the invite to this wedding that I didn't know nothing about.
Are we getting married, Chris?
No.
No, we're not.
I'm not doing Cyclone Reaction because of this wedding. It's one of our advertisers and a really close friend of my family.
Nice.
He's a Clarinda guy. So I'm not doing I cannot remember the last Iowa State football game where I got to just sit and drink as much as I want and just enjoy the game.
Where's that wedding actually at?
Up in Ames.
Okay, so you don't have to drive.
The reception's actually at the Jacobson building too. So
people are going to crash this wedding now. Good job throwing out the location.
I didn't say the time or anything. Like, it'll be locked. I mean, this will be a lot of security.
Oh yeah.
At this thing,
biggest Iowa State fan you know.
Oh yeah. We talked about him on the podcast before. I'm trying to think of the last. He told us one time when we were out golfing with him, the last time he did not wear an article of Iowa State clothing. He has Iowa State underwear.
I've never seen him without an Iowa State hat on.
No,
ever.
Not once. I'm wondering if at his wedding he will wear an Iowa State ball cap.
I would be disappointed if he didn't.
Yeah.
So you guys said the biggest Cyclone fan out there. So this is Diamond Dave's wedding?
No.
Cyclone Jerry?
No.
You going to?
Bigger.
Bigger?
Bigger fan.
Sounds like if he's doing his Jacobson building, he's also a big donor as well as a
potentially.
Fan. Yeah. I'm putting two and two together here.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, though.
I know. I'm excited.
And the Clones are going to win on Saturday.
Yes, they are.
I'm already on record predicting victory.
They're not going to win. They're not.
Adam, is your brother Cheeser a big Iowa State fan, by the way?
Yeah, big Iowa State fan. He's
funny, man. He was
first time you met him?
Yeah, well, we were sitting at the table at the kickoff, you know, I'm sitting there with Chris and your brother Cheeser there, and Chris is just firing questions at him.
Yep.
It's just the way he answers it. We gonna have a good season? Yep. just quick answers. Like
he knows it, man.
Oh yeah.
He's a superstar there in the coaching ranks.
Like how does he get to know the coaches? Does he just go up and hang around or what? Like what?
Oh, he's up at practice all the time. He's got the coaches. The coaching staff treats him really good, really nice.
They're awesome him.
Yeah.
So honestly, like how that began, we should probably just tell Mark the quick version of it. When we were going to take Cheeser to a practice,
and then
we got a call. I'll never forget. It was a Friday. It was a Friday afternoon, and we were here at the office getting some work done, and I got a call from one of the Iowa State coaches. This is back during the Hoiberg era.
It was Hoiberg that called you, wasn't it?
It may have been.
I think it was Hoiberg.
Yeah, and they're like, hey, we told you could bring Cheeser, but which day were you going to bring him? And I was like, well, we're thinking like next week at this point. He's like, he's here. He just let himself in and said, yeah, Chris told me I could come.
Security was tight.
Yeah.
Hoiberg is coaching practice. He turns around and Cheeser's just standing there right next to him, just standing there. So he's done that many times since.
Yeah.
Many
and
times.
Now he's like they love him.
Oh yeah, when they had
when
they had FanFest up there, they set him next to Niang, and so Niang's signing autographs, and people go through and Cheeser sit there and sign autographs as well. So
that's cool.
He's one of a kind.
That's fantastic. Does he live up there? Where does he live?
No, he lives in Urbandale.
In Urbandale,
yeah.
That's funny.
Let's go to football. I think Iowa State. A little bit of a limb going out there considering they're an 11.5-point favorite. But this will be a good conversation because I know Mark is opposite here. I am predicting Iowa State to beat Texas Tech.
Wow. I'm predicting you're an idiot.
So great. That's fine.
Great take.
Yeah,
I think it's
nice take.
It's a very winnable game. it's one that I think they have to have, because if you look at the schedule, you see maybe Texas, Kansas State. There's not a whole lot of games out there where I think Iowa State has a great chance of winning. This would be one of them. But I think it's going to be one, once again, where Iowa State's in it late and they need a chance to make a play, and or they have a chance to make a play and they don't make the play and they lose a heartbreaker. That's how I see this game going down.
Like that's
a,
fair. I mean,
like a three-point loss or something like that. Yeah, because quite frankly, we haven't shown in the last 3 years an ability when the time to step up and make a play, we haven't done it.
No, you're right.
So,
I guess my analysis is more indicative on I don't think Texas Tech is as good as they've appeared.
Well, you know, it's funny.
And I like where Iowa State gets them on the schedule.
I was down on Texas Tech at the beginning of the year, and then all of a sudden they started playing great, and I got on the train, and now you're looking at – or the bandwagon, and now you look at it. They've lost, what, 3 wide receivers. The quarterback's banged up. I think they lost a couple offensive linemen as well.
They got one offensive lineman down.
One offensive lineman down. And the defense is junk. So, I mean, if they're losing guys on a terrible defense, you wouldn't think twice of it. But the fact that they're losing guys on an offense –
exactly.
That's a top 10 offense.
Because I think Iowa State
will be – for Iowa State to win.
I think Iowa State will be able to run the ball, which is that's the end of the day. I mean, you can't ask Sam Richardson to go on out duel a Texas Tech offense.
And what do you think about this? I think Iowa State's defense, and people are gonna think I'm crazy, is just as good and probably fundamentally better than TCU and Baylor's right now. TCU, I would say, is a better defense, but they've lost so many starters, and they played Tech after they lost all those guys.
Than TCU when they played Texas Tech, absolutely.
Yes.
TCU on Saturday night when they're at Kansas State, no.
No, I agree, because Patterson will coach him up, and he's a defensive coach.
Correct, and they've
but
got some
that,
guys back.
At that time when they played them, they just lost all those defensive guys. They were fresh. They were new. I think Iowa State's defense that will be playing in Lubbock will be better than TCU's was on that day.
I don't know about Baylor, but I would agree with you on TCU that day.
I think
day.
Baylor's defense has not
been very good this year.
They got a lot of turnovers against Tech. I don't know if that was more Baylor or Tech. I'm not really sure.
A little bit of both. Yeah. I went back and watched that game again. I mean, it was a little bit of both.
Yeah. But, I mean, Baylor's defense, they still give up 35 a game.
Yeah, they're not. They're a shell of what they were a year ago, defensively.
If you put those players, this is what I keep trying to say about Wally Burnham. People like to kill Wally Burnham. You put some of Baylor's players, that Oakman on Iowa State's team, what kind of defense would Iowa State have?
I think perspective on this is skewed, though, because Iowa State last year, their defense was atrocious.
It was atrocious.
It sucked. All right.
You're being kind.
Now, this year, their defense is better.
Yes.
I don't think anyone would argue against that, but it's still not great. Okay, Iowa State does not have a great defense. All right, it's not a top 10 defense. It's just not great.
But here's the thing, Mark. What defense in the Big 12 is great? I don't think they have to be a great defense.
I think the Big 12 is just a very skewed conference. It's just tough to know who has a really, really great defense. But TCU has a better defense, I think. Yes, they're missing players, but I think they still have a better defense, better athletes.
Yeah.
Baylor, I think, has a better defense, better athletes. Texas Tech probably has better athletes. But they get in these shootouts, and defense becomes irrelevant. The problem with Iowa State is they're not a shootout team. So football is a simple game. You win when you score more points than the other team.
Yes.
I don't see how Iowa State scores more points than Texas Tech.
Did you read Bloom's article?
I just don't see that happening. That's what has to happen, you know, in its simplest form, and I don't understand how it would.
Did you read Bloom's article?
No, I don't ever read articles.
Thanks for supporting Cyclone Fanatic. Yeah. I appreciate that, Mark.
You bet. It's a really good article.
It was a great article. So what team would you, in the Big 12, would you guess has had the most wins the last 4 years in the Big 12?
The most wins?
Most conference wins.
I would guess it would be Baylor or TCU.
Nope.
Then I'd be wrong.
You would be wrong. Kansas State.
Yeah, not shocking, I guess.
Do you know how many yards Kansas State's averaged in those 4 years? About 400.
On offense?
On offense.
Yeah.
What they do is they just slow down the pace. They keep the ball away from them. Iowa State can win if they can sustain drives. That's where Iowa State struggled in the couple years past. They can't keep up with teams, and they'd go three and out. I mean, if they go three and out seven times against TCU or Baylor, they're going to get beat by 40. If Sam Richardson and the offense can go and put together some drives that take up seven minutes of the game, it's a very winnable game because they don't have to do a shootout. Kansas State doesn't try to get a shootout.
It's a big if, though, and when Texas Tech gets the ball, part of the problem is, so Texas Tech gets the ball and they can score on Iowa State in, you know, a minute 30, 2 minutes, those quick drives. And then you're back at it and you're plotting and you're trying to play slow. But if you don't score touchdowns, eventually Texas Tech gets the ball back and then they'll go do their thing.
Yeah.
So Iowa State, no, they don't have to score every single drive, but they shouldn't be punting on fourth and two. In a game like this, I hate it. When
just depends on where.
When we are outmatched offensively,
yep.
And I would say most people would agree against Texas Tech, Baylor, TCU, we're outmatched offensively.
Absolutely.
I hate it when we get into like a 4th-and-2, 4th-and-1, 4th-and-3, and let's just say we're at like at the 50 or in from there, and they punt. You don't win these games by giving the better offense the ball.
I completely agree.
And that's what we do a lot.
Yep.
And it's infuriating.
And just to go one step further, if it's 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2, 4th-and-3, and we have a 40-yard field goal, don't kick it.
Don't kick it.
Yeah, score the touchdown.
I'm on that train. Yeah.
I mean, 3 points doesn't get you anything.
Relying on a kicker in college, unless you're like Florida State and you got one of the best kickers in the country, is stupid. And you see too many teams do it. Kicker comes out, not even close. They, you know, they botch the kick, and then it's just you're defeated.
Yeah.
From there, it's like, why didn't we go for it?
Momentum, just big flip. And you know, momentum's going to flip if they get a stop on 4th-and-2.
At least Iowa State can run the ball now. It appears.
Debatable. I mean, we played.
Well, I know, but Texas defense isn't any.
Yeah,
I mean,
but if we run for 250 yards against Texas Tech, I mean, are you still going to say we can run the ball, or is it still kind of a wait and see until we actually play defense?
At least we've physically seen it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the last few. Like, when's the last time you've seen two rushing outbursts like this? The last two games in a row.
I mean, is there?
We haven't physically seen that in years. I don't care who you're playing.
Is there anything?
You know, like they haven't even been able to do that against bad defenses the last 2 years.
I agree.
Is there anything productive you can take away from the Kansas game? Honestly, you can say, oh, yeah, we had a great run game or whatever. Sure. But Kansas is the epitome of garbage.
Yeah, they are. I would say I probably took away more negative than positive on that. Is that okay to say?
Like Sam throwing a pick six and things like that?
No, you know,
that.
The pick six, whatever. You know, it was a terrible throw. He shouldn't have made it. But let's be honest, Sam doesn't really have a history of throwing a lot of interceptions. In my opinion, he could throw more.
Yeah.
Just because I would tend to like him to try to make more throws.
I would agree with you.
So the pick six doesn't bother me at all. What bothers me is when you come off a bye week and you just lost a heartbreaking game and you're playing the worst team in the country and your offense sucks to start.
Mm-hmm.
That's concerning to me. Why? Why does it suck? Why can't we score? Why? I mean, you look at, I mean, what was it, South Dakota that they lost to? Was it South Dakota Kansas lost to? South Dakota put up 41 points against Kansas. We score 38. I mean, that's an issue to me. There's no reason Iowa State can't put up 50 points. But I told you in the forecast last week, we're not going to score 40 because we can't get out of our own way on offense. We can move the ball. We can do certain things. But when it comes down to it, we have a penalty. We have a drop. We have a bad throw. We just can't get out of our own way.
You say that. Why I don't see them beating Texas Tech?
There's no track record.
There's no history that says we're going to go in there and we're going to do it. Yeah, I mean we killed them a few years back.
But that was completely different. Tommy Tuberville was the coach. I mean,
I agree, completely different. So people that
I'm not going off of that.
I'm
going
to call the Kool-Aid drinkers that are like, you know, oh, we're going to go in, we're going to beat Texas Tech. We can't.
I have no problem with people thinking that.
Like, can we? Sure.
Yeah.
Will we? Where's the proof that says we will? And that's my point. The only question in doubt for me is the spread on the game. That's what's in doubt. I don't think we're going to win the game. I just don't.
What if you had to put a percentage on what you think Iowa State's chances are of winning? What would you put your percentage at?
15%.
15. I would. I actually go high. I'd go like 40.
Yeah, I would too.
I really think there's a 40%.
That's where I put it too.
Yeah, which is crazy because at 11.5, you're probably right about the 15%, which Mark says there. But I don't know. I mean, I think this Iowa State team is, like we said, no question they're better. The defense is better. What worries me a little bit is we have yet to face a team that has a quarterback that can throw the ball.
Yeah.
And I know C.J. Beathard's done great things for Iowa, and he's, you know, he's like their Steel Jantz where he's making some plays here or there. He's pretty inaccurate quarterback.
I mean,
statistics say
he threw like 70 yards against Wisconsin.
Yeah. The guy can't throw very accurately. He made a couple of big throws against Iowa State, but he also missed some easy throws.
But they didn't really in that game. They didn't ask, hey CJ, we need you to win it with your arm.
No,
against Iowa State. Yeah.
But once again, it goes back to you and I. Quarterback didn't even want to throw the ball against Iowa State. I mean, he was terrified to throw the ball.
Yeah.
Beathard missed a lot of throws. You look at Toledo. Actually, he was the best quarterback we faced, but their wide receivers couldn't catch anything. They dropped about seven balls in that game.
He didn't have like statistics. What was he? Like 7 for 21 or something like that. I don't even remember.
14 for 20. But his stats were worse than he played. He played pretty good in that game. His receivers killed him. And then you go to the Kansas. They couldn't throw the ball either.
I'm just more interested.
Now we're going on three games where quarterbacks can throw
that
the ball.
That play in the Kansas game too. I have no idea who caught it, but that play for a touchdown where they threw it over the middle.
Yeah.
The guy got behind us. I just see a lot of that happen in this upcoming week. Guys running free in the secondary. You know, I think Texas Tech will probably score at a minimum. I think they'll score 42 points.
Here's the one thing. Since Rhodes has been here and Wally Burnham, I haven't seen a lot of the Gene Chizik-like plays. Remember when Gene Chizik was the coach of that defense and teams would throw it and there wouldn't be a guy within 30 yards?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That doesn't typically happen. I mean, there might be teams that are just fast and they blow by our guys,
yeah,
but they're usually, for the most part, in the right place.
Yeah.
I think. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But if teams beat us, I think we're going to line up. We're going to play off. People are going to get pissed, but we're not going to jam them. We're not going to play tight.
Yeah.
We're going to give them 7-8 yard passes all day. And what we're going to hope is that Texas Tech makes a mistake. It's like you're playing tennis and you're volleying back and forth. You're just waiting for that guy to hit in the net.
Well, you've got to, because I feel bad for the Iowa State secondary. You got Tech, TCU, Baylor.
Brutal. Brutal.
In a row. I mean, those boys are going to get a workout.
Yep.
They're going to get a workout. I mean, you got Dotson for TCU is one of the best wide receivers in the country. I mean, he could catch 10 balls plus easy against against Iowa State. Those guys are they're fast. I don't know how you stop TCU Baylor. That's why I'm just saying.
That's
TCU,
the thing. Like, you don't
TCU
really
Baylor
stop
specifically.
Them. That's why you need to read Bloomsteel, because it articulates it perfectly. It's not like the goal to stop them. It's to take the airway.
And if you keep them off the field, not only does it
give not going to stop them,
it gives them less opportunities. But a lot of those offenses, they're based on timing.
Yeah.
And if you cannot let them get in a rhythm because they don't have the ball for 7-8 minutes in a row.
It's like Michigan State did with Baylor last year in the bowl game.
Baylor's offense killed
Michigan State. Let me ask you guys this question. Predict a final score if this happens, okay?
Yep.
If Iowa State has at least 4 3-and-outs against Tech, what is the final score of the game?
Let's be honest, they're going to have at least 4.
Because that is not a sustained drive, and that's what you're saying the recipe for success is, sustained drives. How much do we lose by if we have at least 4 3-and-outs?
It's so hard to tell.
I don't know. That's such a hypothetical.
That's a tough question.
Are there turnovers? Are there?
Yeah, but you're also saying that the key to success or bloom is sustained drives. That's the opposite of that. So that means if we're not sustaining drives and we're giving them the ball, then they have much more opportunity.
Well, correct.
To
if you don't sustain drives, you're probably going to lose. If you do, you're probably going to win.
But you could say that for every single game.
I don't get why that's like.
Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Iowa, Minnesota could be 3-and-outs and the score is 10-6.
But we're in the
Big 12.
Like
it was at Wisconsin.
Yeah, this is the Big 12.
So it just depends.
Bloom's article is about how to keep up with the Big 12, not necessarily Iowa.
Iowa State's in the wrong conference, let's face facts.
Well, you better deal with it, though, because it's not like I wrote this like 2 years ago. Like, with the 9-game schedule, this is what it's going to be like.
And frankly, it sucks.
Yeah, it does, but that's just the way it is. Do you want to collect the big boy checks or not? You know?
Yeah. They could collect those checks.
You know what, though? Opportunities out there, right? No one thinks Iowa State's going to win another game. I mean, you look at it.
A lot of people think they're going to beat Texas. But.
Okay. Or a lot of people don't think they're going to win many games left. There's an opportunity for Iowa State to go out and still have a successful Big 12 season.
Yeah.
Go do it. There's players there for them to win. I mean, they have players to win games.
Yeah.
But I'm with you, Mark. Until they show me that they can go win a close game,
gotta show it.
I don't believe that they can, and that's why I think they're going to play good, and I think they're going to lose a heartbreaker by 3, and it'll be another what-if game for Iowa State.
I think I disagree with you. I'm on record. I think they're going 0-8 from here. I just do. There's some unknowns out there. Will Charlie Strong be the coach when they come to Ames?
He will be.
What if this week
they don't even have an athletic director?
But
they're not
fired. If they go out this week and they lose by 50 to Oklahoma, at some point you got to question if he would be. If they keep it close, for sure he will be.
He can't get fired until he has a boss, though. That's the key.
See, this is what's such crap about Charlie Strong, too. He takes over a program where there's a lot of, let's call them knuckleheads on that team. How many players did he kick off last year?
20.
There are a lot. I don't know the specific number.
He kicked off so many players that people, and they're so young now, people had to expect that they're going to struggle, right? Yeah. And now, should they beat California? Probably. And should they lose 50-7? No. But it's not really a surprise that they're not very good. Why is everyone overreacting?
Well, there's a difference between not winning and getting killed.
Yeah, but it's one game. It's such an overreaction of everything. I mean, and TCU is a second ranked. It's not like they got killed by, you know, Oklahoma State.
Texas has a lot of ego, so
I know
it is really, really tough to take for them to see those losses like that.
I feel bad for Charlie Strong. I mean, it's tough to feel too bad for a guy making that much money and coaching Texas, but I think he went about it the right way. He gutted it, and the only way that that's going to work is if they give him 4 years. He needs 4 years, and it doesn't look like they're going to give him 4, does it, Chris?
No.
You're on record. You think he's fired after the end of this
year. Well, as long as he has an athletic director. If that's still in limbo, then they won't. Then he'll get one more. But, I mean, if they bring in a new athletic director, he's gone.
Well, they're going to bring in an athletic.
Well, I know, but it sounds like it's going to take a while there because they're doing like this huge search and everything. I just think it's a deal with Charlie Strong. It's not even against him. They're going to look around and the amount of money they have, and they're going to see like, look who we could have. And I think it'll be Chip Kelly, and I think it'll be Nick Saban lining up for that job. And if you can have either one of those, it'll be like, oh, sorry, Charlie.
I don't get why Nick Saban would, but...
Well, I mean, have you done any reading on this?
There's been rumors for like 6 years.
No, it's not even rumors. I mean, it's actual like reporting on it.
What?
That he, through his agent and stuff, there's a book about it. He actually wanted to get out the last time. It was when Strong was hired because he just is a type of guy who thrives off of building programs. And he's gotten to the point where Bama, like the expectations are so ridiculous. If you lose one game, everybody just freaks out. And I think that at the end of his career, it sounds like he wants to build up one more program before he retires. And there's no better place to do that than Texas.
Well, and, you know what?
And,
no,
and what you're
no.
going to get paid.
I mean, Texas would... I mean, he already makes insane money, but Texas would probably pay him at least $10 million a year.
I guess you're in the right ballpark.
You know what, though, Nick? If you really want to impress somebody, winning at Texas, where you have all the resources, isn't impressive. Come win at Iowa State, Nick, all right? Come do it where no one thinks you can do it. Show people how good of a coach
Nick
you are.
Nick would come here if we can pull together $20 million a year. Nick would probably take that phone call.
Would he win?
Let's start calling.
It would be amazing to see what he could get for talent. Let's put it that way.
He'd get talent. I mean, he wouldn't get Alabama or Texas talent, but he'd get talent because he's got a track record of sending people to the NFL.
I think he could take a team like Iowa State in the Big 12 and make them legitimate.
Yeah.
He's that good.
He is.
Make him legitimate. He won't win a national title.
No, but top 25 type school.
Oh, yeah.
You could do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's my point, though. Proves the point it is about coaching to a certain extent. Yeah, got to get the right coach in.
Well, look at
Bill Snyder. Easier said than done.
Let's do our weekly Bill Snyder's the greatest coach ever talk here. They played Oklahoma State at Oklahoma State with not their first, second, third, or fourth string quarterback, but their fifth string, who was a wide receiver the first couple weeks, correct?
Yeah.
And they almost or maybe should have beat Oklahoma State at Oklahoma State.
Hey, finds
how
a way.
Good of a coach is he? I mean, that's absurd.
Greatest coach of all time.
He's a winner.
I mean, their fifth string quarterback's better than our first string quarterback. It's depressing.
He's a winner.
Best coach of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys ready to do picks?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay. So last week, C-Dub went 4-1 last week.
Impressive.
Moving up to second place.
Impressive.
I'll take it.
Passing by Charter.
I'm
went
struggling.
2-2-1. Charter, you are now 11-12-2.
We're going to turn around this week.
You've been saying that for about 3 weeks now.
Hey, it's a long season.
That's how I look at it.
You know, like, for his negative,
you won't hear me be boastful after 4-1 because I know it could easily be 1-4.
College football, it's been a little crazy this
year. That'd be tough.
Explain to me, this is in a nutshell, this would describe college football. You've got a game. Ole Miss goes into Bama and destroys them. Easily looks like the best team in the country, right?
Yep.
Then you got the same Ole Miss team that goes into Florida.
Who has not looked great.
And looks like crap.
Yeah, I know. I lost.
How are you supposed to make bets based off of that type of activity?
Hey, that right there is
That's
why
tough.
I keep telling you, don't give up on Iowa State yet.
I'm just I agree. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
But it's yeah, anyway.
All right. So yeah, Trevor, you went 11-12-2. CW, you're 12-11-2. I went 3-2 last week, so I am now 14-11. I got a nice two-game lead.
You've avoided a push somehow all season too, which I don't understand.
I don't buy tease points like you guys just to get a better line.
Jeez. All right, I'm going to start it out here. I'm going to go. I am on the Hawks bandwagon. I think the Hawks are legit. I think the Hawks will win 9 games this year. No. I did make a bet that I will. I bet actually somebody some actual money that Iowa would win 8 games this year, and I'm looking good on that one.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to take Illinois plus 10.5.
Okay.
I think Iowa will win, but I see them winning by 7,
you got it to
6, 8.
You can have it at 11.
I think it's 11, yeah.
11? I see it at 11.
All right. Plus 11, Illinois.
No, wait. Let's have a conversation on this. I don't disagree with your pick there, but you said you think Iowa's legit. Explain that to me.
As in, they're a winning team this year. They've figured it out. I like the fact you guys. I'm well on record not liking Rhodes and the way he does things and stubbornness.
Okay,
Ferentz has changed. I bought into the fact that he said so. Or somebody told him you need to change your ways, and he has. He has a different what personality this year, different mentality. It seems more fun.
I keep hearing the media say this. How have they changed? How has he changed? I know he's ran a couple fake field goals. I mean, which haven't worked. I think he's 0-for-2 in the field goals. But I mean, what has he changed? Their offense still isn't very good.
The fact that he was willing to essentially get rid of Rudock. The fact that they do plays like it is indicative of program change. And Old Ferentz would have never faked that field goal at the end of the half at Iowa State.
Okay.
The new one did.
It didn't work.
It just seems like even in interviews, like listening to him on Murph and Andy, much more energy. Don't know where it came from, but much more energy this year than in years past.
So any Iowa fans that are listening probably think I'm bagging Iowa. I'm not. Actually, I'm a Ferentz guy. I give full credit to them being 5-0 right now. I think it's impressive. But I look at Iowa right now, and I was arguing with an Iowa guy about this yesterday. I don't see them any different than they've ever been. They play defense. They tackle well. They don't make mistakes on defense. And they back when Iowa was having success, yeah, you could move down the field on them. But yeah, good luck getting in the end zone. They were staunch in the red zone. Now they're doing the same thing again. And they're, instead of losing those games like they've lost at the end, they're making a 50-some-yard field goal to win a game.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know,
I'm not saying they're great.
Wisconsin's fumbling to go in the 1-yard
line. But I think they're going to be a 9-win team.
Okay. No,
legit, then I don't know what does.
I agree. You just said you were buying into Iowa. I wasn't. I just wanted to hear what you're.
You know, they're not a top 10 team.
Okay.
I mean, they're not world beaters.
I agree with you then. Okay. We're on the same page.
All right.
I will go next because it looks like C-Dub is once again not prepared.
I'm working on it.
I really like this pick, although recent news with disappointing for West Virginia. I like West Virginia 6.5-point favorites at home against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I already have that one written down.
Okay.
So give me that one too.
Perfect. Oklahoma State's been disappointing this year, and West Virginia's been a little bit better. Both teams, I think, lost their starting middle linebacker for the season, didn't they?
West Virginia just lost its safety.
I think it was a middle linebacker.
Oh, I thought he was a safety.
Their best defensive player.
Yeah,
I think
no
he's
question.
The captain.
It's absolutely going to impact them down the road.
I completely agree, but I still like them at home. Rebound after a tough game.
That's a tough place to play.
It is.
And Oklahoma State, to me, has been – I would like to have seen a little more oomph. If that makes any sense from them. I was expecting more from them.
Well, I mean, you look at...
They're winning games, but they're not doing it in an impressive form.
Very lucky to be winning games right now.
Yeah.
They almost lost to a fifth-string quarterback in Kansas State. So
this is true.
All right.
Okay, I'll go again here. There is no reason to think this spread doesn't happen unless apathy sets in, which is a possibility. That's a 10% chance. I'm taking Baylor -44.5 against Kansas. There is no indication that Kansas will score really anything against Baylor, and there's zero indication that Kansas will stop Baylor at any point during this game. Baylor can easily score 70 in this game, easily, if they want to. I don't know if they want to. We'll find out. But Baylor -44.5 against KU.
You know, I saw that line and I thought that's absolutely ridiculous.
It's at 45 now.
Hey, I'll take it. Can't end on 44.5 anyway. So, yeah, 45 is fine.
But I mean, I agree with you.
I like your pick.
Yeah, I actually was assuming he was going to make that pick because he likes Baylor.
I mean, do you see this game not being 49-0 at half? It could be.
Yeah.
It could easily
be. Honestly, it all depends on how much Briles wants to score.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
They could score 100 if they
want. Yeah, if they want to. Like, it all depends on what Baylor wants to do.
I can see it. I can see it being 63-10, 70-7, something.
The over-under is interesting in that one.
What is it?
It's like 77.
Because it's taking into account Kansas scores nothing.
If you think about it, like, that is an interesting, like...
Baylor gives up scores. I could see Kansas scoring, like, 17, but I still think that Baylor would cover because I think Baylor's scoring 70.
I don't even think KU will score 17. I just don't. They're horrible.
They are bad.
Their quarterback's out. So that freshman's got to play.
I mean, their strategy was dinky pass. Okay, we got 3rd-and-2 against Iowa State. Let's chuck it 45 yards down the field. They got no offensive rhythm whatsoever. None.
Yeah, they are very. Did you see the play when Sam threw it to our tight end and their cornerback ran in the opposite direction from our guy to tackle? Chandler was running down the field.
He was scared.
It was
to tackle.
It was unbelievable.
All right.
Next. All right, so you got Baylor 44.5. I got you down for that. I'm sticking with what's worked, guys. I am 3-0 with this pick.
Yep.
I'm going to stick with it. I'll take Iowa State under 74 against Texas Tech. Iowa State's offense has shown me nothing to believe that they can score more than 31 in this game, and I think their defense is good enough to not allow 43. So I feel pretty confident taking the under. Here's a good stat, though. Iowa State has hit the under in all four games, and Texas Tech's hit the over in four out of five games. So
something's got to give.
Yep.
All right.
I'll take Iowa State in the plus 12.
All right. I like that pick.
Yep, I'll take the plus 12.
Give me – I've been impressed with this team. I don't know if you guys have watched any of it so far, and you could question the schedule, but I've been impressed with Navy this year. I believe 4-0. At this point,
I couldn't even tell you.
I got that right in front of me.
Triple option type offense. Notre Dame traditionally struggles with that a little bit. They figured out Tech.
Navy has beaten Colgate, East Carolina, UConn, and Air Force.
Yeah, so you know, again,
East Carolina's not.
They're not world beaters, but again, I like the discipline of the team. Notre Dame is not great at figuring out that offense. So I'm going to take Navy plus 14.5 is what I've got it at. I don't predict a win, but I think they can keep that game close.
It seems like that game's always close. Like Notre Dame always squeaks it out in the last minute,
typically,
doesn't it?
Typically, yeah.
All right. Plus 14.5. What do you got, C-Dub?
I like Michigan State at minus 13.5 at Rutgers.
I like that pick.
Rutgers is awful.
It's 13.5?
Yeah.
It was 14 earlier today.
You need proof? I got it.
No, I believe you.
It's 13.5 now. Because if it were 14, I probably wouldn't have taken it.
Yeah, actually, let's remember that one for later, for our imaginary.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that one right there.
I'm shocked the Nebraska pick hasn't come from Chris yet, but he's got a couple more picks.
I'm not touching Nebraska anymore.
I'm not taking that one either, but I would take Nebraska to win that game.
I got it 1.5. At home against Wisconsin.
Who would you take in that?
I would take Nebraska.
Yeah.
At home.
I don't think Wisconsin's very good. Nebraska's very good.
Big 12.
Wisconsin's okay, but by their standards, I don't.
Sure.
My last two picks. I like the Big 12. My last two picks will be Big 12 games. I've got this one at minus 10. TCU.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm going to take TCU minus 10 over K-State. TCU again. A lot of points. K-State's banged up. I see TCU running away from that one.
I have that one, too. I wrote about that today at Fanatic as well.
Yep. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, too. Yeah. I've got that one as well. I feel like TCU finally is what we kind of thought.
Figuring it out a little bit.
Well, and they're still down on defense, but that offense is like, I mean, it's firing on every cylinder possible right now.
Gary Patterson is the defense with, like, Art Briles is for offense. If Art Briles loses a couple guys on offense, give him a couple weeks, he'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's what Gary Patterson's done now.
He's arguably the best defensive coach in college football.
He's phenomenal.
One of.
Yeah.
I mean, his track record proves it.
I agree.
It's difficult when you're in the Big 12 to be known as that anymore. But if you think about his pre-Big 12, even like when they first got into the league, they were slowing down.
Yeah.
You remember? I mean, their offense wasn't very good, and it was their defense that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the opposite.
Yep. What do you got, Gray?
All right, I'm going to stick with another pick that I've only done two. How have you guys gotten four in?
I don't know.
You did three, I thought.
No, I haven't.
All right, do three and four.
All right, I'm going to stick with what's worked. Once again, I haven't missed on this one yet. 49ers are the worst team in the NFL. They can't score. They're going out to New York City.
Yep.
Sunday night, Giants are only favored by 7. The Giants are playing really – Giants are a couple plays from being 4-0.
Yeah.
I think they win that game by 2 touchdowns.
I can see that happening. Yeah.
Another one, I don't feel great about this one. The only reason I'm picking this, the line opened at 12. I wish I could have got it at 12. Northwestern was 12-point dogs at Michigan. Both those defenses are great. I could see 12 points they need to score to that game,
yep,
to be honest with you.
Yep.
It's moved to Michigan 7.5.
Okay.
When a line moves that much, I'm going away from it. I'll take Michigan minus 7.5.
Man, talking about a good team right now. Michigan, 2 shutouts in a row.
I know.
Right?
Their defense.
How rare is that, college football?
That game would not surprise me if it was 10-6.
I mean, damn. I mean, yeah, back-to-back shutouts. All right, my last game, I talked about this. This won't shock either one of you. I'm taking Texas Tech minus 12. Iowa State hasn't proven otherwise, in my opinion. So Texas Tech wins that game by at least 14 points, probably more.
I'm going to go off the grid for my fifth.
NAIA football?
No.
Okay.
But way out west, I'm going to take Utah State.
Ooh.
At minus 11.5 over Fresno. Fresno has one win this year over Abilene Christian. And they've just got – they're 0-4 ATS in their other games, and they push in that they're awful.
You just love Wells. That's
I do love the Wells. That's why I follow them. That's why I know anything about the team. I love the Wells brothers. But, I mean, they're – Fresno's an abomination this year, so – abomination. That
abomination.
Would be the, yeah, that would be the
that
word.
Would be the right word.
But yeah, no, they're.
It would have been.
Give me Utah State.
Utah State. Okay, I have two games to pick from here. I'll stay in the same state. I'll take Utah -7 at home against Cal. I think people are a little high on Cal. Cal has beaten
Utah.
Anyone.
Plays well at home.
They play well at home. You can make a case that they've looked consistently as good as any team in the country this year.
Yeah.
And Cal really hasn't played anyone. I know they beat Texas by 1 point, but Texas is below average. Yeah. So it was between that and Georgia -3 against Tennessee. Tennessee's going the wrong way. I think Georgia's pissed off against Alabama. I was going to take Georgia, but I'll stick with Utah.
Utah. So, all right. I could technically do worse than I did last week, but I don't think I
would. What did you do last week?
It was 2-2-1.
Well, that's not bad.
You know, which isn't horrible.
That's basically average.
You should never take an NFL game at +3 because you got about a 50% chance of a push on that thing. Yeah. It's an ugly, ugly line. I hate it.
The NFL just is so hard to bet.
Yeah.
And I don't ever do it. I don't even hardly look at the lines other than you guys make me.
Yep.
But, like, it just is. They're so good at it. Like, it's so heavily bet. The lines makers are so much better at it than they are at the college game.
Did you guys
based off of everything I've read.
Did you guys watch Hard Knocks this year?
No.
Yeah, I did.
Did you get invested in the Houston Texans and now 0-4 Houston Texans?
They're 1-3.
Did they win a game?
I think they
I love Bill O'Brien.
Sure? Not sure, no.
Look that one up.
I've always loved Bill O'Brien, but I took it, like, after the show was over, I did think it was interesting after watching the show how they benched Hoyer.
Yeah.
In week one, you know, with Mallett. Yeah. You know, Mallett just seemed like such a slap dick during the show.
That is
it's like, how is that guy a starting quarterback in the NFL?
That's a perfect example, that team, of how valuable an NFL quarterback is.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have one. I think I've said this on a podcast before, and I hate to admit it, but I've watched now several Packers games because they've been in prime time or something. I've had a little money on it. Man, I'm jealous of Aaron Rodgers for the Bears because I'm a Bears fan. You know, he is light years better than Cutler.
Oh, yeah.
Just in every way.
In Cutler's defense, Rodgers is light years better than 99.9% of quarterbacks.
That guy is so good, though. Yeah, just at the little things. I mean, just so good. And the passes he fits in, it's just, I mean, say throw it in that box 20 yards from here and he could do it.
He's got some Favre in him. He's not as good as Favre, but he's pretty close.
He's better than Favre.
No, he's not. Come on.
Because you know why? He doesn't make the idiotic throws the Favre makes.
Well, let's be honest. He's playing in a little different era where they pretty much is quarterback happy, where you can't hit wide receivers.
It is a different era. I'll give you that.
Well, you look at – I always go back to this. Favre, his last year with the – or second to last year at the Vikings, he showed up, 3 weeks before the season started? He finished second MVP voting. He threw 7 interceptions all year.
Yeah.
That was during the time when you can't hit a quarterback anymore, although the Saints still did.
Yeah, I was going to say, Saints took exception to that rule.
Sons of bitches. You can't.
Favre's ankle still is bruised from that game.
You can't touch a wide receiver anymore. You can't hit a defenseless wide receiver, so they're not afraid. They don't alligator arm anything anymore. It's easier.
Chris, did you go to the Vikings game last weekend?
No, didn't end up going.
Who did they play?
They played
Broncos.
The Broncos.
They almost had it.
Oh, Broncos. That's right.
That was a good game.
2 weeks ago, they were at home.
Yeah.
Houston Texans did beat the Buccaneers third week of the season. And then they're going to get their second win tonight. They'll beat the Colts. Andrew Luck's out for that game.
I don't think they will beat the Colts.
Yeah, they'll beat the Colts.
It's in Indy, right?
Without Andrew Luck.
It's at Houston. At Houston.
Oh, it's at Houston.
Oh, I want Houston.
Yeah.
Okay. That changes it for me.
Yeah. Dude, the Colts without Andrew Luck or...
So they got Hasselbeck?
Yeah, Hasselbeck led to victory last week because the Jags kicker can't make a field goal.
Saw that.
It's like a tree falling in the forest when nobody's there to witness it. Like, does it make a sound? Like, if you beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, does it really count as an NFL win?
Here's what's crazy to me. Talk about a pathetic division. Divisions oftentimes aren't fair. It's like the Cubs this year were in the best division in baseball. The top three records were all in that division. What would that be? The AFC South? Is the Colts, the Texans,
the Jags, and the Titans. The worst division.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Well, Houston right now is 1-3, but look, they play Colts tonight without Andrew Luck. Then they play the Jags, the Dolphins, who are a train wreck, and the Titans.
So they could turn it around.
Just boom like that.
What's the line on that game tonight?
Moved to 4. It was
Houston,
a, it was
a Houston
it,
minus four.
It was a pick'em.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Andrew Luck not being in the game is a big deal. So, you guys got big plans tonight? I'm going to Taylor Swift.
Oh, a little T-Swizzle.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone says. T-Swizzle's great.
I've got to work. Got the Cyclone Fanatic radio show.
I will be there.
Benchwarmers.
Yeah.
Do I get a good plug tonight? You could say I'm at the Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll give you a shout out.
I'm ready for the show. I think it'll be a good show.
I had an opportunity to go. We wanted to, but just didn't work out family-wise.
Tickets.
What about them?
I thought I was supposed to say tickets on here, and I would get two free tickets from you.
It's too late.
Too late? Oh.
That ship has sailed, my friend.
Dang it.
So, sold out show. I went to Principal Park last night to watch the Cubs game and passed the arena and all her trucks.
See, that's interesting
here.
To me that you went there. I would rather.
Park?
Yeah. Was it cool?
It was cool, yeah.
Yeah. I bet it would be.
Good atmosphere. I mean, I wouldn't do it every time for the game. I'm curious if...
I'd rather sit in my basement.
Are they going to do that again for the Cardinals series? I'm curious.
I doubt it.
There were several thousand people
My
there.
Guess is that was a one-time deal.
Sold a lot of food, a lot of beer. Yeah. Almost like, why wouldn't they? You know?
Because my guess is that marketing-wise, like, if you the more you do it, the less cool it is.
Yeah. I could see them doing it if the weather cooperated for a World Series game.
Yeah. For a World Series game. Yeah.
I could absolutely see that. But no, I think they drastically underestimated how many people were going to come out to that thing.
Did they really?
Yeah, they ran out of food. Wow. They were scrambling. So
that's cool. I'm happy for them. I was texting with our boss, Jason, last night because I was openly cheering for the Cubs on Twitter. And he's like, are you a Cubs fan now? I'm like, no. I just – like I love like the guys like you, which is friends. And I would hope that my friends would root for the Vikings if they had an opportunity to do something big, which they probably won't. It's cool for me, and especially like with the Royals last year and the Cubs this year. It's just neat. Yeah. I'm rooting for those teams.
A Cubs-Royals World Series would be fantastic.
That'd be cool, except it'd suck, too, because it'd be... Like, I would want the Royals to win, I think, but it would be... Yep. Like, I don't want to root against the Cubs, because I know too many people who have suffered for too long.
Well, I think we can all agree on one thing. Just beat the Cardinals.
Yes.
Anyone but the Cards. Get them out.
And that helps. That helps. Yeah. The fact that they're rivals with the Cardinals helps.
Brent Bloom, does he listen to this?
Probably.
He could suck it. He's a Cardinals fan.
Yeah, he can.
Andy Fales. He can suck
the
it,
families.
Too. All of them. All of them.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, boys. Good work today.
See you boys at Taylor Swift later.
T-Swizzle. So, wait, before we go off here quick, if Iowa State wins this week,
yes,
are you going to change your tune at all? Like, will you start picturing other wins like Texas and Kansas State? Are you still going to say, nope, they're going to lose the next seven games?
I would say, yeah, they'll still lose the next seven.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got to respect the fact that he stays true to
best case,
says, you know?
Best case scenario for Iowa State the rest of this year. Best case is two wins. That's best. And that means they beat Texas, and they probably pulled one out at West Virginia.
I think that Texas is bad. And for my credit, I picked them to lose to beat Texas before the season began.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I picked them to lose at Toledo, and I actually picked them to lose Texas Tech. I've changed my tune on that after watching Texas Tech enough. I don't think Texas is as bad. They will not be as bad on October 31st as it seems right now.
Yeah.
There's no way. There's too much talent.
So that,
and he's not a bad coach.
No. So they're going to out-talent us. So, yeah. I'm not just saying to say it. I believe Iowa State does not win a game the rest of the year. They finish 0-8. They finish 2-10. Best case scenario, they find a way to win two. Absolute best case.
I think they end up with four.
And that puts them at 4-8, right? And then I pray to sweet baby Jesus that's not enough to keep our coach. And it shouldn't be. 4-8 shouldn't be good enough.
My guess is that's where they end up is 4-8.
Can I tell you best case scenario?
I just did.
You win the next eight games. That's the best case scenario, right?
I love it. And that's the best way to end this podcast.
I mean, come on.
Do you think they win more than four games this year? Or they end at four or less?
No, I think they're at four.
I think they're at four. I think there's winnable games, though. I mean, to get to five or – I don't think they're going to, because I told you I think they can beat Tech. I don't think they will beat Tech.
Yeah.
There's a difference. So, you look at the schedule. Why can't they get to six? Why can't they win four games?
And at four, do we get a new coach?
Should we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should. Probably. Yeah.
My guess is at four, you probably will, but I don't know. I mean, nobody knows.
I think, boys, it's going to be moot because we're going to win two or three. It's moot at that point.
I hope we don't have this conversation. I hope it's all positive and we're not even talking about it.
Hey, Iowa State fans, I love you, but I'm a realist. 0-8 to finish the season. Sorry.
You suck.
It just is what it is.
It's a good way to end it. Adam, say your win the next eight again.
Yeah, we're gonna win it. The next eight games. We're gonna
there you go.
Be a dark horse.
Adam Gray called it. See you guys.